2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30 is where we begin today. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up weeping as they went. It wasn't a secret that they were sad, but the barefoot and the head covered, those were symbols of sadness. So David goes out of Jerusalem and up the Mount of Olives, sad because of his sin, sad because he is reaping the consequences of his sin, and worst of all, his own son is leading a rebellion against him. David was a good warrior. He did have a heart after God. But boy, when he blew it, he really blew it. And he wasn't a very good family man. Wasn't a very good husband, I would say, at least in his later years. And that's because he took several wives. And he wasn't a very good father, which is why Absalom is rebelled against him. 31. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. You know, David is suffering for his sin. And part of the punishment is his son turning against him and one of his advisors, Ahithophel, turning against him. And yet he prays to God for help. And even in the midst of his chastisement. You know, that's one thing we can do. You know, just because we are being chastened for our sins as Christians doesn't mean we can't turn to God for help. He's such a gracious God. And when you really know God, you know that the Bible says, in wrath, he remembers mercy. He can be petitioned for help, even when he is in the midst of punishing us. And he may show grace, because that's the kind of God he is. So if you are experiencing sadness, maybe in part for your own sin and the consequences of that sin, do not hesitate to pray to God and ask for help in areas that you want help. Remember, he's a God of mercy. 32. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, there was Hushai, the Archite, coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. So here's a man who really loved David, and he is full of sorrow because David is so sorrowful. And that's a sign that somebody cares about you, because the Bible says that we are to be sad when others are sad, weep when others weep, and rejoice when others rejoice. So let's see what happens here. 33, David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. So Hushai meant well, but David told him, you know, it's just going to be a bigger problem if you come with me. So sometimes we mean well. We have very good intentions. And yet, what we plan to do is not good. 34. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king. As I was your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. So just return to Jerusalem and be a spy, so to speak. Give my son Absalom bad advice. So if you want to help me, do it that way. Verse 35, and do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priest with you there? Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. So, you know, he's got a few friends that will be in Jerusalem, sort of behind the enemy lines, passing on information to him. 36, indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them you shall send me everything you hear. And so a couple of young guys, you know, they can run fast, and they've got physical stamina. They can come and give me the information that you have about what's going on in Jerusalem with Absalom and the rebellion against me. Because if you don't know what's going on, you can't make proper plans. That's why in order to do what is right, we must first know what is right. In order to act wisely, we must have wisdom from the Word of God. And in fact, true wisdom is not just knowing what is right. True wisdom is acting upon what is right. And that's what David wants to do. And sometimes we need help doing that. 37, so Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So it seemed like a good plan to Hushai. And so he took David's plan to heart, and he will do what he suggested. And just like God, we need to do what he tells us to do if we want to be useful for him. 16, when David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisin, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. So Ziba, as we will see, always an opportunist, not a good man at all, brings all these elaborate gifts to David as he is fleeing. Verse 2, and the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and the summer fruit for the younger men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. So I bought all this stuff for you, King David, to bless you and those who are loyal to you. I just want to help you any way that I possibly can. 3. Then the king said, and where is your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. And that's a lie. This guy, Ziba, is lying about his master, Saul's son, Mephibosheth, who David was taken care of. You know, David could have had Mephibosheth put to death because he was Saul's son, the previous king's son. And that's what normally happened when somebody began a new dynasty. But he promised Saul's son, I should say, Jonathan, that he would take care of his children. Mephibosheth was actually Saul's grandson. And he promised to take care of him, so he was doing that. Now Ziba, the man's servant, lied about him, said, well, he doesn't care about you. He's just using this bad stuff that's happening to you as an opportunity. He's going to try to move right in and take back the throne that once belonged to his father. And it was a complete lie. 4. So the king said to Ziba, here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, I humbly bow before you, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. What a phony. Ziba is. I humbly bow before you. He told a big lie to get the king's favor. The king's under pressure, so he doesn't take the time to investigate the matter. He doesn't really have time, but he shouldn't have made this decision in haste to give all of Mephibosheth's wealth to Ziba, his servant. You know, that's not a smart thing to do. And I guess it's why we should avoid making decisions when we are under a lot of pressure. We should wait until we can think clearly and then make a decision. Because right about now, David can't decide hardly anything. And in haste, he makes this decision to give Mephibosheth's wealth to Ziba the liar, and he shouldn't have done it. 5. Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. Well, here's a man from the family of the house of Saul who held a grudge against David for taking over the throne from the house of Saul. Well, you know, that wasn't David's fault. God is the one who took the kingdom away from Saul and his family because of Saul's terrible unfaithfulness. And he gave it to David. God gave the kingdom to David. And this man is bitter against the will of God, is what he's bitter about. You know, some people are bitter because God doesn't do what they want him to do. Instead of accepting the will of God, even if it means hardship or loss for them, they become bitter and they think that they have the right to sin. I'll show you. Well, if you're not going to do that for me, God, then I'm going to sin and I'm justified in doing it. 6. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Well, this guy's really showing his bitterness. He's just thrilled to death that David is being run out of town and firing stones at him, kicking him when he is down, so to speak. Boy, God doesn't like that kind of thing. No matter why somebody is suffering, even if they're suffering in the will of God because they've been sinning, God doesn't like them to be taunted. 7. So Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. Calling David names, cursing him. 8. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Well, you know, this guy Shimei had it completely wrong. He's convinced that his family member, Saul, the former king, had the throne ripped away from him by David unfairly. He just would not admit that it was God's will for Saul to lose the throne. You know, he wouldn't admit that Saul was an evil sinner who was being punished by God, and David didn't have anything to do with it. He had that wrong. He says, that's why you lost the throne, is because you sinned, you treated my family member Saul badly. Well, you know what? David is inheriting the consequences of his sin, but it wasn't that sin, because that wasn't a sin that David was guilty of. Like I said, you know, he took multiple wives. He wasn't a good husband. He wasn't a good father. He didn't do things the correct way. He also sinned with Bathsheba, and God promised that, you know, part of his punishment would be family trouble. So, you know, this guy is right. Shimei is right that David is paying for his sin, but it wasn't the sin that he thought. And so we need to be careful about accusing somebody and thinking that we can judge and know why they're suffering. And we can judge whether somebody is suffering or not, but we don't know if they're suffering because of their own sin or because of somebody else's sin against them. I mean, we just don't know. So we can judge right and wrong, but we should not try to judge culpability for people who have committed sin, their level of guilt, their level of culpability before God. Leave that to God, because we just don't know.